welcome everybody to Need for Speed Running Pit Stop Edition here on, I'm just going to spoil it, recording-wise, the day after Christmas. So we're in super chill, comfy, warm, cocoa sipping vibes today. If by cocoa, you mean a good hazy IPA, because that's what I'm drinking anyways.
A different set of pajamas, yes.
Yeah, exactly. Different set of pajamas than the last episode. But yeah, welcome folks. My name is Jay Hobbs. I'll be one of your hosts today. I am joined, as always, by the beautiful, the lovely, the ever wonderful man with a plan, Luigi's Apartment.
I feel so much better about myself. Thank you so much for that introduction. Hi, I'm Luigi's Apartment, owner of green things. Yes.
That's true. They can't see, but you're wearing a lot of green things right now.
I do have much green. I got a Ireland national soccer team hat for Christmas this year.
That's what it is.
So that'll be good if they ever make it into the World Cup.
Retroactively, it'll make the hat good.
Don't worry. It retroactively probably won't matter. It probably will not make it. So ever. It's fine.
Fair.
They're good lads.
How were your holidays, man?
Pretty good. When I wasn't out, I was playing Yakuza Like a Dragon.
Nice. I've heard good things.
Which I adore it. I love it very much. We'll be talking about job systems today, and so that makes me happy. any game with a job system will make me happy. Yeah, that's been nice. But, got to visit with some family, gave them some of those fancy digital frames that the kids can all add pictures to, because that'll go a mile. They'll get a hat. My mom's has different pictures than my dad's does, we'll say. Hers has a lot more dumb memes that my brothers are subjecting. My brothers and I have been subjecting her to, but maybe my dad will get like weird things about old PC gaming. So, but yeah, it's cute. They liked it. So we've been having a lot of fun with that. Like, it's kind of been like a family thing, 'cause we can see what pictures everyone else is putting on.
And, that's funny.
Yeah.
You just got to start putting in thumbnails from NFSR episodes, like a subtle hints.
The guys, new episodes up. Look, it's me again.
Listen, please.
There is a picture of me bumming it with that Zelda costume I have in the NFSR thumbnail. There's a different picture of me dressed like that, just really, really slumming it, Link.
That's great.
How were your holidays? Festive? Did you get anything good from Santa?
It was nice and chill. I got exactly what I asked for, which was a little like table, kind of like a TV tray thing, TV table or whatever.
Ooh.
That I could use to eat. So that way I'm not like constantly cluttering my desk with like food and stuff like that.
A designated thing that you can remove afterward.
Yeah, pretty much. Like I can move it in and out. So that way I have like a little like table. That's good. And honestly, more importantly, my mom's going to help me get some stuff with my car fixed, because I've been so busy. Ooh. She was like, I'm also like giving you this many hours of my time to just like literally come over and take the car while I'm working, like while I'm streaming. And I'm like, oh, that is the greatest gift.
Yeah, you have
it's so hard to find.
You
time.
Have a more normal stream schedule now, and which means all the things that are helpful are closed when you're not working.
Yeah, kind of. Get off stream. It's like, all right, time to get my car. Oh, it's closed. Yeah. Oh,
sorry about that. Hey, I think everyone will understand the desk thing too, because anytime you rearrange your desk or in some fashion to make more room for a specific purpose, after a couple of weeks, that spot is gone, and
it's
used for something else. So a thing that you can just remove when you're done, like this will never become a permanent feature.
Yes,
is kind of helpful.
Definitely. Also, had a nice chill time. We watched, of course, Die Hard, just absolutely required Christmas viewing.
Right. a national pastime.
Because of the last NFSR episode, watched Batman Returns. doesn't hold up like super well, but it's fine. It's a lot of snow. Fun.
You know,
I will say Batman Returns is a movie that takes place during Christmas, but is not a Christmas movie.
Right.
In the same way that like Die Hard is definitely a Christmas movie.
Batman Returns is a movie. Full stop.
Yes, exactly. So that was a lot of fun. But we are not here just to talk about the holidays today. We're here to talk about a little bit of an interesting topic to us that we always like to when we're doing our full episodes, we always like to talk about speedruns from the perspective of like how watchable are they? You know, how easy were they to follow? How engaged did we feel? That kind of thing. And we sometimes get into kind of like some small things about what makes things harder to follow and that kind of thing. But we thought we'd talk about today what makes a speedrun just like bad. Like, what does bad mean in the context of speedrunning, right?
Yeah. It's nuanced because you can't just say that's a bad speedrun. Yeah. Like, well, what do you mean by that? There's any number of things you could mean by that.
Yeah, there's quite a few different things because there's a game, and we're going to talk about two kind of specific scenarios today, but they're more scenarios that can exist. There are games that are not very good to speedrun. Like they are not very good to be the runner performing the speedrun of. Maybe there's stuff that just makes it not super fun to spam runs of. Maybe the variety isn't all that interesting, or like, you know, from run to run, it's not going to be that different. But that speedrun may still be really fun to watch. So even though it might not be the best speedrun to play, it might be one that's really still good to watch.
People can get behind.
Yeah, yeah. And conversely, you can have speedruns that are super fun to perform. They are like amazing technical challenges. They can be repeated over and over, like with impunity. Like they can be extremely fun to do. But maybe they're not such great speedruns to watch. Maybe they're not so watchable.
Yeah.
So like there's kind of different contexts.
Maybe there's a lot of cutscenes.
Yeah. A lot of cutscenes, or maybe, you know, it's over in the blink of an eye and you couldn't follow anything that happened. It's there's a whole bunch of different reasons that something can be considered a bad speedrun. And what you're gonna hear us put emphasis on that a lot, because I feel like there's a big quotation marks around that, because obviously this kind of thing is always subjective. And even though we, of course, may be objectively correct, you may subjectively think that we're wrong.
Yeah, it's
and that's
more
okay.
Like a,
you can do that.
Yeah, it's more of like a meta criticism.
Yeah. For example, like generally the main rule I will always say that if you're ever looking for like a fun speed run, maybe it's the first run you want to jump into or whatever. The number one thing you need to make a good speed run is a good game. Like a fun game is more often than not going to help, you know, something turn into a fun speed run. Because if you don't really enjoy playing it, then it's going to be harder to enjoy playing it for hours on end.
Right.
But sometimes that's not always enough to make it like a super fun speed run. And we've got a couple examples of the different types that we're going to be talking about today. And the first one that I'll bring up, because I've brought this up on past episodes of NFSR, I've brought it up in casual discussion with people all the time. I will say, to the ends of the earth, I love Final Fantasy Tactics Advance. It's my favorite Final Fantasy game.
It's fantastic.
I haven't played a ton of them, but yeah, it's amazing. I love it. And
it's one of the few I've played and beaten.
Yeah, same. And I absolutely think it's a blast casually. It's super fun. And I've done speed runs of it, and I had a good time. However, I will say that it is a speedrun that is, I always say that I can't really call it good, like a good speedrun. And that's from the perspective of somebody running it. Now, from watching it, I actually think it's really fun to watch. There's a lot that goes on. But there's a few things, and we'll get into kind of specifics here. There's a few things that make it not as good to run. And the first comes up pretty early, like within the first like 10 minutes. 10 or 11 minutes. Basically, every time you want to start a new run of this game, you have an extremely slow section for the first 11 minutes or so, all the way up through the first kind of tutorial with the judges and the Bonga encounter.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, totally going to get pronunciations completely off, I'm sure. Just going to throw that out there right now. I'm going to say Banga and Bonga interchangeably because to me, I have no idea which one's correct.
It's Ivalice, you know, or Ivalice or Ivalice, yeah. You know.
Ivalice, if you're me as a kid.
Anything goes in Eva, Iva, Ivalice.
Yeah. The first, kind of 12 minutes or something even, it can be really rough because it's just two fights separated by a lot of cutscenes, and the fights themselves don't have a lot going on. It's mostly pick the attack button and attack the enemy.
And here's how the game works.
Yeah, they're tutorials, right? Tutorials exist, and that is one way that sometimes speedruns can get bogged down a little bit if they're too covered in tutorials. On top of that, these tutorial fights have quite a bit of RNG to them as well. But it's the kind of thing where RNG can be mitigated if it's stuff that you can adapt around, and most of the game actually is that way. And it's why I think that you can still have a lot of fun running this, and I haven't had in the past. But in that those early parts where you don't have a lot of options available to you, you can't really do much, sometimes you're just going to lose time because an enemy decided to go heal itself, or you didn't get a lucky crit, or whatever. And if you can't reset because of, you know, you got 7 minutes of cutscenes or whatever, that gets rough.
Yeah, that has a very similar kind of flow as like Mario Sunshine games, as a Mario Sunshine run, where that you get hit with something real early, and then something, you know, tutorial again, but it's after like 8 minutes of cutscene or something.
Yeah.
As far as the two fights, how scripted are they? The Bonga does not run away and heal every time to teach you that the Bonga heals, or you can sometimes get around what are they trying to show you that's scripted?
I don't exactly know, but I think the big thing is like you can crit or just high roll enough damage to like skip certain turns for the enemy.
Okay.
They can move around kind of randomly or decide who they're going to target randomly, which can make it harder to line up your attacks how you would, you know, prefer.
Okay, so they just throw a regular enemy in there.
It's effectively just a regular battle, but with some tutorial text like kind of mixed in and stuff. And even your opening tutorial snowball fight is the same kind of way. Like you can miss, you can get crits in that one. And it's just a bit, you know, it can go, it can just lose you some time or gain you some time here and there. But that's just the beginning. That just makes you be like, I wish I didn't have to mash through, you know, several minutes of cutscenes at the beginning and have these two fights every time I want to reset. But that's not the real reason you won't be resetting this game. And the real reason, and this is one of the reasons that I say that I can't call it a good speedrun, is the best and most efficient way to get through this game quickly involves grinding to a very high level, not even a very high level, but grinding to a significantly higher level than you are expected to be in the early game, so that you can get some clan recruits at higher levels and they can help you through the game. From a routing perspective, that's incredibly cool. It's like, oh, you actually, you dismiss your initial party members because you get one character to a high enough level that if you dismiss all your other party members, you can get some new recruits to replace them at a significantly higher level, so you don't have to grind each of them out individually.
That's cool.
Like from a running perspective, that's really cool. From a running perspective, we're watching it right now just for our own sake. The way that works is you are going to stand in one spot in a mission, and you're going to continue to pick the aim action, the boost, you know, ability within that. And then you are going to wait, and you will do that for an hour. You're going to do that for about an hour straight.
This levels you up?
Yeah. So the way leveling works in FFTA is that every like attack or action you take on an enemy gives you experience relative to the difference between your levels. So if the enemy is higher level than you, you will get more than 10 experience for attacking them. But if they are lower level than you, you'll get less than 10. If you use something on someone the same level as you, which includes using an action on yourself, you will get exactly 10 experience. So this would be bad enough, but also the judge will like move bodies around and stuff, it slows things down randomly, and it's frustrating that the judge has to take turns.
Yeah, judges are,
they're a thing in FFTA. But
so you're blinding this character over and over again.
They actually just, I believe, stay blinded. This is a kind of a newer version of the grind. It used to be about 45 minutes or so, and now it's closer to an hour, but it's done earlier, so that way you can breeze through later stuff. And you kind of position yourself in a way such that they can't really attack you. And that will let you continue to just grind over and over relentlessly. But yeah, so this grind sucks. And you might think, okay, well, that probably sucks from a viewing perspective too. And in a way it does. But the kind of neat thing that I always found is whenever I was running this, my viewer count would go up when I was grinding.
Really?
Yeah, because it turned into this time where you're not having to focus that hard on the game, and you get to just sit there and chat, you know, talk with your chat, like, for about whatever you want for a while. It turns into these fun Q&As. You can just talk about whatever. So it ends up making for a fairly engaging experience with the audience, even though what's visually happening on screen isn't that great. And also, if it's somebody's first time tuning into it, it's still, they get to hear that routing interest factor about it, right? It is interesting from that aspect.
The thing that makes most RPG speedruns fascinating, the fact that they can be exploited somehow.
Exactly.
And also, you've got nothing that can go, nothing but everything can go wrong, which is always great for engagement with people.
Right. Like, the worst you're going to do if you, like, aren't paying attention is maybe you'll select move for a second, you got to hit back, or maybe you'll pick wait before you actually use the action, you waste a turn. It's like, yeah, whatever. It's that's a minor amount of time. But because you're going to sit here and do this for 45 minutes to an hour, depending on what route you're using, you're not resetting this game. Like, and it happens so early that it's like, If you weren't going to reset within the first 15 minutes, you're not resetting for the next 3.5 hours. Like, that is a long time to have to just go and hope you don't make enough mistakes.
Yeah.
In some ways, that can kind of be good because it forces you to kind of complete more runs. But when you do start grinding for those top times, it can be frustrating if you just get kind of boned by bad RNG or something like that. And then you can't. Like starting over would mean you have to sit through this mind numbing process again
and get your inputs down and menu.
Yeah.
Great. You know, like, especially if you really, really want to save as much time as possible.
Whew. Oh yeah. You got to be trying to make sure you get all these inputs as quickly as you can. 100%.
Probably like an average of seven turns a minute or something like that.
Yeah, I have no idea, but it's the kind of thing where you absolutely could lose time if you're being too lackadaisical about your menuing.
Oh wow, it's way more. It's got to be way more than seven. Then the judge gets to go, and but yeah, holy crap,
that grind makes it rough to run, but it's still like it's still kind of fine. Like, I'll jump a half an hour later into this video, and we'll see that they'll still be doing it.
Cupo, you're alive.
So the other thing is, like, we used to, the cool routing stuff doesn't end here. Like, because of being a super high level, we used to sack Monty intentionally in a permadeath area later on. So that way you could then dismiss your recruits again and get new, even higher level recruits.
Yeah.
Because the recruits are based on your average clan level. And I think that same kind of thing still happens, although I hadn't seen this where Monty's getting some experience.
Yeah.
But the other problem is there are still some other aspects, like when you're trying to get certain recruits, it is just RNG on whether they'll show up or not. And you might have to just save and reset over and over. And there's, you can't really be super flexible about it. It's like, yeah, you kind of need them to make the route work, or all that grinding was for naught.
Which is to get this guy.
Right. Exactly. We get this Banga. Ooh. Or whatever. In the past it was Vieira's, but things have changed recently.
Just squish the eyeball.
And then even like later in the game, the very final fights kind of come down to, if things haven't changed too much since I last ran it, the final fights come down to like 30% chance attacks, right? And if you miss too many of them, you could just get team wiped.
Right.
And even if you get like a lucky bow that does less damage but has higher hit rate, it's like it still comes down to like a 70% chance or something. So for all those aspects, it's like being having a run where you can spend an hour grinding, doing this mind-numbing grinding, a lot of really fun stuff in between, but then come all the way 4 hours into the run and have your run just get killed by a team wipe because you missed a 30% chance. Like, it's hard to call that a good speed run for the player, right? Like, that's... It's not the kind of run you're going to want to sit and do over and over and grind your time down, most likely, unless you have a lot of really good patience. And I commend those who have gotten very good at this game and do have that patience, because I do think a lot of aspects about it are very fun. But from a watching standpoint, it's still really fun to watch. Like, you know, going into that, like, anybody you're watching is probably going to finish that run, or at least go very deep in it, because they're not going to commit over an hour of grinding if they were planning on resetting an hour and 20 minutes in. Right.
Right.
So from a watchability standpoint, it's interesting how this one can be maybe not the most, like, the best one to run over and over, but can still be really fun to watch. And I still encourage people to give this one a try, because it is easy to jump into. It's actually a really easy run to learn because the notes are so good. Although there has been a big reroute, so I don't know how, like, what's been updated on notes wise on that. But yeah, it's just, I don't know. It I've always thought it's an interesting case, kind of a case study almost, of like how speedruns can differ.
Yeah, it's very similar to Mario Sunshine, where that's just a lot of fun to watch, but then that, well, it doesn't have the hour long grind of nothing in the middle, but
like Sunshine has a bit more going for it, in terms of like all of the things that aren't the 6 minute cutscene or whatever.
Right. But like, as that, far as like watching it, like I'm totally in the, when we're looking at clips now, as we've been talking about this, and like, I'm enthralled.
We just watched 400 damage this game get applied, and like, you know, you want to see that stuff. Like, that's what's really neat. And like I said, even the grind, if it's being streamed and everything, and people are watching alongside, that's kind of fun. And also, here's the other thing: as a watcher, you can skip through the grind if you're watching it in VOD form, right? So that doesn't necessarily pull from your experience too bad, because you can understand where they're going and then you know, zoom on through it.
Well, you wouldn't be able to ask people questions.
No.
You know, as if you were watching it live. But yeah, you can skip some of the other stuff. Because that's the other thing, is that there's stuff going on. So, you know, having people to explain to you what would be the most optimal way through or why this is happening. But yeah, I guess actually a lot of it is pretty straightforward.
I mean, no, you've hit the nail on the head there, and it's what makes everything outside of those few aspects I'm talking about makes this a really fun speedrun in those, like, everything else. So for a lot of it, you are running a fun speedrun. It's just that, can you call it good when you know your run could end on a 30% chance 4 hours in, and you're going to have to have committed an hour plus of grinding or so to get to that point to begin with. Like, that's rough. So there's a lot that's still good in it, but it's hard to say that it's, you know, a good speed run overall. But I don't want to pick on FFTA too much, 'cause like I said, I do still, at the end of the day, I still love it. It's still, I still love the game. I love the speed run.
This is a fantastic game.
Yeah. I just wish those aspects, you know, if we were lucky enough for them to not exist about it, it would make it a little bit more fun to run. But there's other categories you can also run. So, Luigi, why don't you give me a good example of a game that is probably extremely fun to run, but maybe not as easy to watch. Maybe one that's a little bit worse on to watch.
I think when we were talking about this, and I was trying to set up a segue a second ago for... This game is like A Link to the Past. It's got a huge history behind it. We all know the Zelda Link pasting with the randos and the crowd controls and the, you know, all the good,
the
fun
NMGs
stuff.
The NMGs and the 100%.
Yeah. So, but it's always just weird. I understand what's happening, but I don't understand what's happening. I told you when we were talking about this episode that I at one point years ago, I made a decision that I was just going to, I can only stick with either Ocarina or A Link to the Past. There's just too much going on to follow both. And I just stuck with Ocarina. And so I know more about that. But
to be clear, we're talking about A Link to the Past, any percent, like full glitches allowed. This category is under 2 minutes. It is, the video we're watching is a minute 39. And it's,
well, and to some extent, other major glitch.
Yeah, there are enough categories in Link to the Past where this can apply to a few things, but this is the one that kind of comes to mind when we're initially talking. Hard to watch, like maybe not the most fun thing to watch, but to run. Ta-da. It's one of the most popular categories. It might be the most popular category of Link to the Past on the speedrun on speedrun.com, which is mind-boggling. We just watched the whole thing while we were sitting here talking about it.
Yeah. I mean, it takes more skill than just a Glass Joe input, but it has it has some of that air to it of this is A Link to the Past. If you do these movements frame perfectly, 10 of them, you're well on your way to beating one of the most famous speedrun games of all time.
Yeah, but I'm sure it wouldn't have 868 runners if it were, you know, unbelievably boring, not fun to perform. So that's the kind of weird thing. You can have these runs that are just massive technical displays of skill that can be fun to grind because they're super short. They get going pretty quickly, and then you're just going for the whole rest of the run. And they have a lot of really hard stuff to take to, like, tackle, a lot of depth to the challenge there, and a fast and easy resets if you mess up. Maybe I doubt there's any RNG.
Yeah, just some pause buffering. You know, there are a lot of there's a lot of speed tech that is fun to learn, even if it's kind of like you're going to pause buffer these 8 inputs or 10 inputs. Like, that's still cool to do. Like, well, I'm beating this game. Like, look what I'm doing. I'm breaking this game. This game is a mess. A Link to the Past is a mess. But yeah, you know, there's something to that. But I guess watching someone over and over and over again, or I think would more likely be the case, grinding out frame perfect attempts for a while and not necessarily wanting to watch that back to back to back.
And even watching the PB that gets it, like, we're sitting here watching it for a second time now, and I'm still looking at it going, like, I have not even the smallest fathom of an idea of what is going on. I just see some map scrolling and weird walking through walls and stuff. And then it's the kind of thing where it's just like, yeah, it's not as easy to watch as, say, the 100% run that has glitches, or the no major glitches categories where they're a lot easier to follow, but they still have, you know, that brokenness to them, or even the glitchless categories, like stuff like that. I would say, in my opinion, like, a little bit more fun to watch, and you get a bit more of the game.
It gives you time to become accommodated with what's happening, because the basic explanation of how the game is laid out, it's like a Mario Maker level. All of your screens are on one big screen, so you can build walls in Mario Maker and segment it off so that no one can see that area, but they're all still there. And kind of like in that Link's Awakening remake where they were walking on top of the world, there's something to that when you're in the dungeon. So you can just kind of, if you know how the dungeons are laid out, you can just kind of walk across all the maps. But yeah, when you can't see Link's sprite, that's tough. Yeah. Also, even when you know more about why they're doing that, the stuff that Link's sprite is usually doing is even more esoteric to trigger, like, something, some value that's hidden back there that needs to be changed to this to get this to spit you out in the right spot.
Yeah, it's the same. And to be clear, we're not saying here that, like, glitches make a bad speed run or anything, no, or bad to watch
not
speed
at all.
Run, because that's not the case. There's a lot of like super fun speed runs that have plenty of glitches in them, but they're just easier to follow, or they are,
yeah,
you know, they're a bit more straightforward, or they're just that kind of, they give you a wow factor and you don't need to know exactly what happened.
Yeah. 3 hour long videos about this hour or about this minute 40 speed run are my thing, about like why all of this works and let's break it down. Yeah, definitely. That's definitely not what we're saying.
Right. But just watching the minute 17, it's like, for example, like you look at Pokemon Red, Catch 'em All Glitchless. That is kind of a meaty speed run. I think it's like an hour or something. So it's got, you know, some time to it. And, or did I say glitchless? I meant glitched. Glitched Catch 'em All for Pokemon Red. It's got a little bit of time to it, where even though the glitches are really hard to kind of like follow and look at initially, because you're getting enough time out of them, you have time for the streamer to explain what's going on, and you can see over and over, like you can become acclimated to what's happening and get a better understanding of what's happening over time. Mm. And even if you don't, you get used to seeing enough things. Like even if you get no explanation, you get used to seeing patterns, because humans are really good at looking at patterns and finding patterns. And
it's kind of our thing.
Yeah. You'll see patterns and you'll be like, oh, he's, you know, they're going to this location to catch this Pokemon or whatever. Oh, they switch locations because they, you know, they covered all of the ones that were in that last location, that kind of thing. You don't even have to necessarily follow everything about it. And that's why, you know, you can have runs that are still super glitch heavy, but are definitely better speed runs to watch, like that are easier to follow. The ones that are kind of like wrong warp and you're done, those can be a bit harder to watch. I think they can be not quite as fun to watch at times.
But at that point, you could have a discussion about categories, to be like, well, if there's a game that is this broken, there's probably a category for most games that someone who is disappointed by seeing that would like to see, like, oh, I would like to see more or less glitches, or I don't care, or something like that. But there's a category out there for you if you just kind of want to watch something that's cool.
Yeah, that is the biggest thing that I think YouTube comments miss. A lot of people don't understand that if you have something like this that you're not digging, that is hard to watch for you, because it's so glitch like this, there are probably a ton of categories that you will love, because there's going to be other people who don't like doing it either, or don't like watching it. They want that game. They want other ways to play that game. Like Ori and the Blind Forest, I've never loved any percent as much. I wouldn't say it quite fits in the exact same example here, because I don't think it's necessarily as fun to run either. but it's like
just
a
10%,
just straight any percent, because it's like a 10-minute category. You kind of do a lot of running around, and then you get to one spot and you wrong warp straight to the end, and you are good to go. And it's kind of RNG. You kind of got to hit this like super precise angle thing. and so it's a bit rough, both to play and to watch. But then you have All Skills, which is an absolutely astounding category. One of the best speedrun categories out there, I think. Like a super fun speedrun to both do and to watch. Densely packed with technical execution and routing knowledge and everything. And then you even have like Glitchless on top of that. That is also fun in its own right. So that's the thing. You just, because there might be a game that is a bit harder to watch because of these glitches, doesn't mean that that game does not have extremely fun and interesting speed runs within it as well.
I think something that also is that I think everyone has a game that would be fun for them to run, regardless of whether it's actually fun to run,
yes,
or people would have fun watching it. There's something out there that you grew up with, or probably multiple games that were garbage or weren't very good, but you had it and you like it because you got, like, I could see, in the same way that, like, what was it, Arcus got with Ninja Gaiden, where it was just like a flow of these are the inputs that I'm going to do, and I'm going to flow through the game like that. Like if it's a game you know really well, and you just be like, yeah, I've got this all down. It feels fun. Like Home Alone 2, Lost in New York, I could see like the sliding and jumping could just be therapeutic or cathartic in a way if you found it fun. So, you know, there could, you know, everyone's got at least maybe one or two games that they would find fun that no one else would want to experience with them.
Yeah. Well, I like I said, these are just kind of very, you know, specific examples we picked because it was stuff we kind of knew about, but
More of a, you know, a way to just kind of talk about the idea of it anyway. Some examples,
but I think it might be fun to kind of list a few other just individual aspects that could make things like less fun or bad from a watching and from a running perspective. Why don't you take the watcher and I'll take the runner perspective? You're watching, what's something else that makes a run like kind of bad for you to watch?
A lot of times with a Link to the Past, where like I know something's happening but I don't know why, and we do this a lot where we'll guess for a game that like when we're watching together that like we're gonna make a guess as to why that is. Mm-hmm. and as people who know how to find the resources that will tell us that, someone in the call can pretty quickly go, yeah, I can find out why. But we tend not to do that. Mm-hmm. I think, but yeah, if you did not have that resource or you didn't know or where to go find it, that would be a tough hurdle to get over. Like I know something cool is happening, but I have no idea how to figure out why other than if I watch a VOD or something. But maybe you don't know about VODs.
Yeah, I totally get that. I think that's super accurate. For me, from a running perspective, something that will often turn me off is if there's just too many cutscenes. Too many unskippable cutscenes. If you have to sit through a game, like, I mean, I ran Kingdom Hearts 1 on PS2. That game is almost 50-50 cutscenes. End game play.
I was in the shit, man. I was there. I lived it.
I reset that game. But it can get really, it can be really frustrating. It's hard to want to redo a game over and over when, like speedrunning, people already sometimes have trouble thinking like, why would you want to speedrun stuff? Why would you want to play the same parts over and over again? Do the same thing over and over. It's like, it's really fun. You have a lot of the bits that you get better at. You have to, you know, focus and have this technical execution. Mm-hmm. However, once you got to do those same parts over and over, and it's just watching a video, it's just watching a movie, maybe 3 times, 4 times, 5 times in a day, watching the same lines be delivered. And, you know, it's,
let alone a gummy video ship. Games.
They're not always good movies either. that gets frustrating.
That's fair. That's a fair point.
So for me, unskippable cutscenes are one of the leading causes for me to turn away from a game.
We got to get away from that, guys. Come on, devs. How long has it been? This has been a joke for years of, that's fine. It's here if you want it. But let me skip it.
It's so frustrating.
Or at least, you know, I get maybe it's like a, well, what if they accidentally skip it? Well, we don't want them to accidentally skip it.
They make it harder to accidentally skip it.
Some games have the little fail safe where you hit a button on accident. And it's like, did you mean you want to skip this? I'm like, oh, no, I did not. I was enjoying hearing about this movie theater that you have. Any number of stories from the game I'm currently playing.
Or having to like hold a button longer that'll let you get through it and stuff. There's a lot of
holding a button long. Why don't we get into here why don't we talk about the ways that cutscenes can be made better by the different ways you can skip them. Hobbs brings up a good point. Holding down the button, really classy, guys. Dev teams, I'm looking at you.
An option in the options menu to just skip all of them by default and have it be more than like two movies like it is in Pokemon Scarlet Violet.
Like I do not
like
care.
I have played through the game once. I will turn them off now until later.
Yeah, see, that's a good one, because I was trying to think of earlier how you would, because like a new game plus is an easy way. Like if you really, really want to make people sit through it, offer a new game plus to where they don't have to do that anymore. But yeah, once you beat the game, adding a thing to the options menu to check on or off yes or no cutscenes, please. That's good. That's really good. Yeah. That's a good one. I think we have something here. We should get jobs as studio consultants.
Oh, yes. Consultings where you can just charge people whatever you want and tell them things they already know.
Yes. Here's my knowledge as a nerd.
Any other
I think cutscenes would probably also be a good candidate in the against watchability column. Depending on what the runner does in that time, or if you really, really, really like this game and these cutscenes.
There's Final Fantasy X where people love that story so much that they'll happily sit through the cutscenes again.
I know those people. I know a person like that, yes. Who will play Kingdom Hearts games again and again, not as a speed run, but to play them and sit through
watch it every time.
You know,
but no, you're totally right.
And bless him. I love him. But, you know,
that does also for sure detract from the viewer experience as well. I'd say from a runner experience too, I have there's a lot of times where frame rate related tricks come into play, or you just kind of got to get lucky on in terms of like how certain tricks apply. Like you could do all the things right, but it still just doesn't happen because just, you know, you weren't lucky with some specific frame that happened or something like that. Those are another like easy way for me to turn off of a speed run. It's really hard to want to keep running it when you have those kinds of mistakes. They're not mistakes.
This is you're just gonna have to get good at it.
Get good at it's fine. It's more of when there's a like, you know, you got to have 70 FPS on this game that for you runs at 120 or for you runs at 40 FPS or something. You know, it's like that can be rough. Like, and it's like, oh well, you could still do the run. You're just gonna lose 2 seconds every minute or something.
Thanks.
Yeah, that's a tough scenario.
Yeah, that does suck.
Yeah.
I was going to say I had to look into Bikini Bottom speedruns first. That was a while back though, but that gave me this would be a pain to run because of all of the like advancements that like broke that game open, aside from the out of bounds glitch, are very frame perfect. Like move canceling to keep momentum sort of things. Mm. And they have to be done at like a perfect frame. There's a way to triple jump in that game. The biggest one is that for a frame or two, the game, when you take damage when you're in the air, the game will think your model is standing for just a split second. Wow. And you can get a third jump out of it. But SpongeBob's damage animations, he has many different ones. And so they're not all the same.
That would be rough. If it's like, have to get lucky that it's this damage animation or something, or it's the timing is different for each of them or some weird garbage.
Yeah, so you would just have to get used to each different one and like, all right, this is it's a feeling at this point.
Yeah,
so there's not really a way to teach that to people.
That's what I was going to bring up. Like there's some ways where that is neat and interesting and can be like it's
fun to talk about.
Yeah, it's fun to talk about. It's skill, like there's a skill in developing like your ability to notice and react to those things. But exactly what you said is another thing I was going to bring up, which is community and resources for learning will honestly sometimes make or break a speed run for me, where if I really don't like that community, like I think that they've been very you know, awful to people, or they've just been very like elitist or exclusionary. That is not cool. And that'll turn me off from wanting to run maybe an otherwise extremely fun game. And likewise, there are games that maybe aren't at the top of my list that I would join just because I like the people in it. And then there's also resources, which I think is kind of an extension of community, where if it's just hard to learn this game because it's, you need to know all these things that you can't really teach that well, that a lot of them super come down to feeling like, it's harder to get into that speed run from a running perspective, but it might still be extremely fun to watch.
A lot of, you could describe Frame Perfect Tricks that way a lot, is that eventually it becomes a feeling. And sometimes it's harder to describe exactly what's happening. Sometimes the community may not know because
it's true.
They don't have code monkeys that want to dive into why into the source code and figure out why things work the way they do. Not every community. That's the other secret slogan of this show. Not every community is SMB1. until someone is eloquent enough to be able to figure out how to tell other people about a trick or two or something like that. It could be something like that. Yeah.
No, I it's a frustration that happens all the time in speedrunning where you're like, I wish we knew somebody who could look into this more. And same thing kind of happens with potentially like speedrun tools. Like if you want an auto splitter or a load remover or a practice tool, stuff like that, where you're just like, I know there's people out there who could do this if they played this game, you know, or if they cared at all about this series. And that's always unfortunate.
Yeah, you get pretty lucky with RPG tools because a lot of people are already there for the number crunching.
Yeah.
And writing codes to help number crunching to make it that much more delicious. Usually those people are already in the community. So,
yeah, I think helps, a bigger thing.
But not every game is
a bigger
like
thing,
that.
Too, is just, big popular games are just going to have more people interested in them. And that's going to attract people from all different walks of life or disciplines and of study. Mm-hmm. And you're going to be more likely to have one of those people be somebody who can help you out with that kind of thing.
Yeah. It takes all kinds. Because there's people out there hunting who just want to find weird glitches. Yeah. There's, people just doing QA for the community almost. everyone, people out there tassing. But yeah, that's a good point, is that if it's not a community of people you'd really want to hang out with, you're going to have to talk to them at some point for the game, because you can watch a bunch of YouTube tutorials, but it always helps to like talk to people who know what they're doing.
Yeah, and if it's not fun too, then it's not going to be fun to keep running it either.
Yeah.
Kind of a weird topic for us today, but we wanted to kind of, the holidays are over. We wanted to make sure people knew that by being negative as possible.
We hate glitches. I think there's room for more episodes about
these kind of meta topics.
Yeah, not as like speed running as a culture, but like this kind of, well, what is it about? What goes into this? There's many different. It's nuanced. Speedrunning, there's so many different games. You can't just talk about speedrunning as like a monolith, because video games aren't a monolith.
Yeah.
And so all the subcultures around video games are different. And speedrunning is just one of those subcultures around video games.
For sure. But yeah, we just wanted to try this kind of a different style of episode for us here. We're just talking openly about these vague ideas. If you have any examples of your own, not of, necessarily individual speedruns, and again, we're not trying to bash on speedruns. I picked FFTA as an example here when I love this game and speedrun. and we picked Link to the Past, which Luigi loves all the Zelda games and everything.
I'm a huge fan of both of these games. Yeah. I just want to play FFTA now when we were watching bits of it. I'm like, this game's real good.
I switched back to it after we were done again with
Zelda. What was that? Oh, yeah, the podcast.
But yeah, we're not here to bash our games or anything, but we just want to help explain why, like, maybe some games end up with fewer runners, or maybe some games, you know, like, why, try to articulate why some things are less fun for you to watch, or harder for people to watch, mm-hmm. or why some people don't get certain speed runs that have all this technical skill to them. You know, it's that, yeah. that kind of thing. If you have any examples of your own, feel free to comment on the podcast, whether on Patreon or other services, if you have any ideas. Or you could tweet at us at NF Speedrunning on Twitter and Instagram, and
leave it in a review. We'll read it and answer your question.
And
give us 5 stars.
And if you have any other topics like this that you've always been kind of interested about, or curious about, like, why what makes a bad speed run, right? What makes a speed run good? Like, what are the things we look for in watchability, or any other random topics? Like, maybe you don't know what low mm-hmm. percent is or something. Like, we are happy to talk about that kind of stuff. Let us know what you want to hear, and we'll try to make it happen.
Another way you could let us know stuff is in the Discord.
That's true.
Where we do live recordings with the patrons, the people who support the show over on patreon.com/possiblybad. And some of them are executive producers.
That is true.
One of them's like a
positively breathtaking. Based,
positively breathtaking. Yes.
That's true.
But yeah.
We have a whole bunch of EPs for the show. You all make this happen. You are effectively our sponsors of the show. We really appreciate it. We got Lisa Slack, Professor Hal, Ethan King, Brian Ward, Lossian Luponis, Hylian Gamer 01, Tom Mangar, Cassandra Lenhart, and Hypixion. Thank you all so much, especially Hypixion. Woo! Recently. We'll get your topic very soon, I'm sure. Thank you all for being EPs.
We do have a tier where you can make us pick a topic,
pick a specific game. Yeah,
we'll talk about it.
Yeah,
we'll talk about it. But pretty much anything's on the table.
Yeah, we'd love to hear more ideas that you all have. Also, just going to float this out there: we have not, you know, figured out anything officially yet, but we're probably going to start doing some watch parties for various speedruns throughout the month. So if you have some ideas around speedruns for that, start collating them, putting them in a notepad or something for games you'd love to watch a speedrun of. We'll talk more about that on a future Patreon post. Keep an eye out for that. But with all that being said, you can find me at twitch.tv/jhubs296. I do a bunch of speedrun stuff. Luigi, where can they find you?
I'm on go to luigisapartment.com. That's you nice. Find me on Twitch there. And also check out Chat of the Wild, which is Legend of Zelda Book Club podcast. Going to start playing Star Fox Adventures soon, so I'm in.
The classic Zelda game.
Yeah.
And and of course, we hope everyone had a very happy holiday season. And on top of that, a happy new year. And of course, I think tomorrow, after when this comes out, is the first day of AGDQ. So please...
Whee!
Go to AGDQ, go into AGDQ week with your mind open on a bunch of brand new speedruns, because there's always some hidden gems to try watching something you've never heard of.
Just leave it on all week.
Leave it on in the background. Let us know.
And when you come into the room from doing something else, you'll be like, what is this game? And they'll be like, I don't know. It came out of a cereal box. I'm like, cool.
Let us know your favorites, any runners that you think we should talk to, anything like that. We hope you all have a good time watching, and I hope I'm still alive at the end of the week, as per usual. And we will see you all on the next episode of Need for Speed Running. Thanks so much.
Bye, everybody.
Welcome, everybody. Nope. I do this all the time. Even when I'm recording like interviews for GDQ and stuff, like I will just botch the flub the first one, and then I'll be good the entire rest of the time.
And I don't know what words are anymore. Doop doop doo. Yeah. Da, da, da. What level are we up to now? 22.